Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Today I want to spend a few moments thinking about our epistle text. But before we go through our epistle text, we need to take care of a couple of verses that inform it. And so in John chapter 19, we read that one of the soldiers with a spear pierced Jesus' side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. Now notice about this verse. First of all, he records the fact that one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, and that blood and water came out of the wound. All right, that's the fact. But notice how John seems to make a big deal about this, especially with reference to faith. He says, he that saw it bear record. I testify to this. I saw this thing, I testify what I saw, and I know that what I say is true. And then he closes by saying, that ye might believe. In other words, there's something about the water and the blood coming out of the side of Jesus that has to do with our faith. And John here in this story of the crucifixion of Jesus, he makes a big deal for us about the blood and water coming out of the side of Jesus. The other thing is also in the Gospel of John. John chapter 16, verse 32 and following. He says, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So here we also see an echo of our epistle text, because here we learn that Jesus tells them that despite the tribulations and troubles of life, despite all the disappointments and the negativities that we experience throughout the course of our life, we may be of good cheer because Jesus has overcome the world. He continued to do his Father's will despite the effort of the world and the devil to silence him. And he accomplished the work of redemption, and he gave up the ghost with a cry of victory, it is finished. And so Jesus, even in his death, he overcame the world. And the blood and the water that flowed from his side are a picture for us of the future. And so here we see that Jesus wants us to know that he has overcome the world, and his overcoming is the cause for our ability to be of good cheer despite the troubles, tribulations, and crosses that we must bear. Okay, so we've dwelt on those. Now let's take a look at our epistle text. Beginning in verse 4, he says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. You see, bing, bing, John 16, and here, 1 John chapter 5. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. The fact that we have faith in Christ shows that we have overcome the world. All right? And so now notice what he says further. He says, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So Christians are here described in two ways. First way refers to our baptism, to be born of God. All right? Whoever is born of God, all right, it overcomes the world. And then our faith. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Son of God overcomes the world. So the Christian, the baptized believing Christian who trusts in Christ and Christ alone for his salvation has overcome the world. All right? What does this mean? Well, the world lies in sin, under judgment, and in damnation. But we do not. In our baptism, we have been grasped by the hand of grace and translated from sin, death, and the devil into the kingdom of grace. We have received the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. We have been assured that our sins are forgiven. God has, in fulfillment of Christ's promise, given us the Holy Spirit so that we may understand, that we may persevere, that we may serve the Lord with gladness of heart, and that we may bear our crosses with Christian patience and trust until it pleases the Lord to deliver us. So we have overcome the world. You know, sometimes we try to talk about being a Christian in a very sophisticated way. But when it all comes down to it, the basic thing is this. What's so great about being Christian? I'm not going to hell. Right? That's basically down to the brass tacks. The fact is, I'm not going to hell. You say, what on earth is that? Because of Jesus. Because God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that through him we might be saved. Jesus, not us. We have been unfaithful. We have been sinful. But Jesus has been utterly faithful, utterly sinless, and he acted decisively according to the plan and will of his Father for our redemption. He died with the words, "It is finished," on his lips. And now we are sure that everything that placed us under God's judgment and wrath has been wiped away. And now God's arms are open to us. God looks upon us with an uplifted countenance, and he blesses us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Not because of any way in which we have impressed him. We love him because he first loved us. And this, my friends, is why we have overcome the world. Because Jesus has overcome the world, and in our baptism and through faith, we are connected up with Jesus, united up with Jesus, and what is his belongs to us now. And he takes our sins, we get his overcoming. He takes our troubles, and we get his strength and his righteousness and his saving work. See, so we have great reason here to rejoice. He says, this is he who overcomes the world. right? Whatever is born of God, whoever believes that Jesus is the Son of God, overcomes the world. All right, so we get that. Now, he goes on and he reminds us who it is that is our victory. He says, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. Now, again, John makes a big deal about something that sounds very obscure to us. You know, it's like he's talking here as he writes, as if we should understand exactly what he's talking about. And yet, if you read the commentaries on this passage, you will notice that virtually every commentary has a different take on what is this blood and water thing all about. So, let me try to make it as simple as I can. John is saying something that he knows his hearers will be familiar with. And we are. Why? Because we know from his gospel that when Jesus died and his side was pierced, blood and water came out of his side. And John says that this is a significant thing for your faith, that blood and water came out of the side of Jesus. And here he says, he speaks of Jesus Christ as the one who came by blood, water and blood, not by water only, but by water and blood. So what's going on here? First of all, John is referring us back to the passion of Christ when at his death, Jesus from his side issued forth water and blood. But he's actually pushing us back even further beyond that. Jesus' public ministry for the redemption of the world began with his baptism. And in his baptism, he received the Holy Ghost by a visible manifestation, the dove that light lit upon him. And so he received the anointing for his mission, for his work as our Redeemer in his baptism. And the Father spoke from the bright cloud and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Okay, so in the baptism of Jesus, we see two signs that point to Jesus as the answer to the world's true need, which is redemption, forgiveness, and salvation, right? And it happened in his baptism. Then from the baptism, he did his work of teaching and miracles and casting out devils and bearing up and living a perfectly righteous life in our place and for our sakes. He lived a perfectly righteous life, and then he suffered, was rejected and mistreated, was nailed to a cross, was crucified, dead, and buried. And so the last thing that happens before Jesus is taken from the cross is that blood and water flow out of his side. So on one level, the blood and water point backwards to the entire ministry of Jesus, beginning at his baptism and ending with his death, what we call the state of humiliation. And so here we are seeing that the water and the blood refer to the earthly ministry, the work of redemption in the real world by a real man who was also God. And so here, when St. John refers to the water and the blood, he's referring to that. But then he goes on and he speaks about, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Where does the Spirit bear witness to Jesus? In the writings of the New Testament. Well, in the writings of the whole Bible, from the Old Testament all the way through. The Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is a Christ book. And when we do not understand it as a Christ book, we do not truly understand it. And this is at the root of many of the crazy ideas that float around about what the Bible means about various things, is that there are many scholars who are insufficiently Christ-centered. They do not understand that the Old Testament means what the New Testament says it means, because there is one author, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, and the Holy Ghost. The Bible, from beginning to end, is the inspired Word of God to us. It is God's testimony. And through the Word of God, the Spirit bears witness. So we have the water and the blood kind of summing up the earthly ministry of Jesus. But then, after his death, this blood and water is poured out on the ground. And that points us to something else. But in order for us to grasp it, we have to move on a little bit. So it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is in truth. But he says, there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth: the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these things agree in one. John is making a very big deal here about testimony, bearing record, giving a witness. And first he says that it is the Spirit that beareth witness. Then he says that the triune God bears witness in heaven. And then he says that on earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood bear witness. All right? So in heaven, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, in the unity of the Godhead, they bear witness to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who came by water and blood. On earth, the witness is the Spirit, the water, and the blood that testify on earth to the same thing: Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And so here we learn the connection between the public ministry of Jesus, ending in his death upon the cross, and then his resurrection again on the third day. But his public ministry and what he finished and accomplished for us, and what he commissioned his church to do in the world. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then we have from St. Mark's Gospel, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And so here we see the testimony of the church. And the Spirit, in this case, is the gospel, all right, which is inspired by and used by the Holy Ghost to testify on earth. All right. So the Spirit, the gospel, the water, holy baptism, and the blood, the sacrament of the altar. And so here we have the three that bear witness in earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. the gospel, baptism, and the sacrament of the altar. And so just as Jesus' entire work of redemption is our salvation, so it is that in the gospel we are assured of this, and we are told of it, and we are fed by it. But also in our baptism, we are united up together with the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are crucified and risen with him in our baptism. And then in Holy Communion, we are given the pledge and the testimony of the remission of sins, given and shed for you for the remission of sins. And so, that's kind of a potpourri of what this water and blood thing is all about. It testifies to the earthly ministry of redemption that Jesus performed. It points forward to the ministry of the church in the world by his command, by his authorization, to preach the gospel and administer the sacraments. And by these things, the Spirit of God would create faith and would sustain faith. One more thing that we have to focus on, and that is that all of this that we're talking about here is the testimony of God concerning his Son. This is what underlies our Christian faith. All right? Our faith is not hung up on nothing. It's not based on a nullity. Our faith is founded upon, grounded upon, the testimony of God concerning his Son. And so we need to hear what it says in verses 9 and following. He says, John says, if we receive the witness of men, and we do this all the time, people testify and they tell us things and they assure us that they're telling us the truth, and we, for the most part, we believe them. All right? When people testify, we believe them. We receive the testimony of men. Well, the testimony of God is greater than the testimony of men. And so if we receive the testimony of men, we must surely receive the testimony of God. All right? The witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God that he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. So the fact that you are a believer shows this, that God's witness of his Son has entered into your heart, and your heart gives the response of amen to the witness of God. God testifies by means of word and sacrament, and you respond to that in faith with the amen of that inner witness of the Spirit. And so he says, he that hath the record of God hath it in himself. He that doth not believe, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he that believeth not the record of God that gave of his Son. So if you receive it, you have it within yourself. But if you don't, you make God a liar because you refuse to believe the record he gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given us eternal life. John 3:16. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Right? God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Right? Eternal life is not something that everybody has by virtue of being a human. Eternal life is something that we are born bereft of because of our sin and because of the wrath of God upon sin. We are bereft of everlasting life. But God has worked in Christ to remedy that, and he has remedied it through the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus. And so to have this is the record that God gave of his son. God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his son. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He that hath the son through faith, he that hath the son hath life. And he that hath not the son, that is the one who remains in unbelief and impenitence, hath not life. All right, so here we see, number one, through faith in Christ, we overcome the world. And this faith, which overcomes the world, is a faith that is witnessed to us by God. So we have the threefold heavenly witness, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And we have the threefold earthly witness, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. That is the gospel, the baptism, and Holy Communion. And so we rejoice that God has testified concerning his Son, and that our faith is not based on human wishful thinking or on the testimony of men, but on the very testimony of God concerning his Son, our victor. He said, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world," and so it is that in him we overcome the world as well. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.